Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. Another wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. And I thank Him for all that He's doing, all the souls He's saving, all the assignments He's revealing to His people, passing out assignments. That was a day I saw in the hand of the Lord in a vision. He was situated at a desk, and he had a stack of papers, and they were assignments that he wanted to perform in the earth. And he put his hand on top of it and just kind of let his fingers fall, you know, like you're waiting on something. There was nobody to receive those assignments that he wanted to do. And he wanted to pass them out, but there was nobody that could perform those assignments. But he had assignments. Now this was back in the early 2000, probably 2 or 3 when I saw this. And I saw his hand do that, and on top of the assignment he had a stack of paper. And things have to be in place for the Lord to give people assignments and to anoint people to do His will. And people have to be willing, they have to cooperate, they have to be able to receive the format that God gives them personally. Now, the problem is, you know, I've said in another website broadcast that people try to format, they try to make their own format, traditionalizing their ministry after the order of other ministries. In other ministries, they try to get you to do what they did. They show you the way you do your ministry. And that's how it is in the world under education systems are formatted. Sunday schools, church Sunday schools are formatted. But the order of God has its own format. And the format is in the instruction. You know, we taught that a few broadcasts ago. The format is always in the instruction. And if the Lord called you to the ministry, He's going to tell you what He wants you to do. Now that's how it was with all of the prophets. They didn't just go out randomly prophesying. They were sent specifically. They had a specific prophecy and a specific person that they went to prophesy to. Whether it was a nation, whether it was a person, they had specific things to do. And in fact, all the prophets, they operated differently. Some did similar things, but they all operated differently. They saw visions differently. And they received dreams. So, you know, Daniel was in the position of a president, and he was a prophet. And he prophesied to the king and also to the generations, because we still read his writings. And Jeremiah prophesied, he warned Israel about the captivity of how the king of Assyria will conquer them because of their sin. And then he blinded them and he revealed the Savior. He wrote about the Savior and how he would come. They all did a specific thing. Isaiah didn't use Jeremiah's rules. Jeremiah didn't use Ezekiel's rules. Amos didn't use Zedekiah's rules. And Hosea was different from Zephaniah. They were just different. Now, Isaiah lived about 100 years ahead of Jeremiah. But, you know, they didn't train people to do exactly what they did. They taught people to follow the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants to get back to. He wants His people to recognize what He's doing in their lives. You know, every ministry has its own specific, unique purpose. And in order to fulfill it, you're just going to have to go in the Lord's presence. And He'll train you how to use the anointing that He gives you, and where to go and when to go and what to say when you get there, or what to do when you get there. And you just have to do it His way. There are some ministers, he may not ever sanction you to preach at a church. He may have you in the streets. you never know how whatever God give you to do, that's what you do. You know, I never seen anybody have a radio broadcast and not have a church. I'm not over a church. You know, I don't pastor a church, is what I'm saying. But the Lord put it on my heart to do the radio ministry. And some people wouldn't do something like that unless they had a church to help them pay for it. And they structure that ministry according to others. I don't. I do what God tells me to do. And before he used me in the to do the radio broadcast, he had me to write and send it out to people. I made a list, and whenever I would get people on my list, I'd mail them the writings that God would give me every so often. You just have to obey him. My first assignment was, besides preaching randomly at churches sometimes, my first assignment that didn't involve a church was the Good News Letter. I did it in the Kingston Woodlawn area. I used to live at 4620 13th Avenue North, and I did my whole neighborhood from the Holiday Inn all the way down to Stockholm. And some of you may remember those days where I wrote a good newsletter. I did it for a year, and every month I'd pass them out. Had about 1,000 addresses. I'd get 1,000 copies and pass them out. And I thank the Lord for those days. God is good. So you have to do what God gives you to do and be faithful with it. Every time he gave me an assignment, I wanted to do it. I enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, you may run from somebody else's assignment because that assignment's not in your heart. That assignment's in their heart. And the way that God gave them to do it is in their heart. So you have to consider those things. Now, last broadcast, we talked about King Saul. And we shared how the Lord will anoint people. All right, so we saw that Saul was very faithful. He was a very faithful man. He didn't quit. He went to find his father's donkeys, and he would not give up. And he took the matter all the way to Samuel, the prophet of God. And he was anointed king, you know. The donkeys led him to Samuel. His faithfulness took him to Samuel. And Samuel anointed him king. Samuel didn't even have to go look for him. The Lord sent him. Because he was so faithful, when the donkeys got away, God knew he wouldn't give up. And that's the kind of man that the Lord wants to use. People that will naturally do God's will. You know, Paul was looking in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul commended a man because he naturally loved the Lord. Let's see. Yeah, here it is, 25. Well, you know, some people will naturally obey God and some people won't. And because, you know, God wants people that want to do his will, that will naturally obey him, that seek him. I'll just read the discourse here, verse 20. Here it is. It is Philippians 2 and 20. Let me back up so it'll make more sense. All right, here it is, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now watch verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. See, the Lord sends people that will naturally care for his people, that will naturally care to do his will, that will take their position and use it for good, that will supply the need of many, that want to be a blessing. You know, he doesn't want people that want recognition. They want, you know, what's the difference of a man that that lust after recognition and pride and prestige. You know, God called them to do His work, but they want the attention on themselves. And they arrange their whole ministry so that they look the best, so that they can be honored by man. Tell me, what's the difference between that person and Lucifer? There's no difference. It's a darkness. Lucifer was an angel, and he made 5 statements that caused him to be Satan, and he said it from his heart. All right. Now David wanted to be king so that he could serve. Saul became king, and then he fell in love with the praise of man. And every time you get in pride, you also simultaneously get in fear. But Paul said, in verse 20, he said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as the Son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was near to death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Now, Epaphroditus and Timothy were 2 faithful men that Paul knew he could count on. Just like Paul sent these men to do his work, to help him in ministry, the Lord sends faithful people too, that will naturally care for your estate. And if God called you to the ministry, that's the way you honor God the most. Naturally obey Him. It has to be in your heart. We're going to touch that again in the next few broadcasts, maybe even this one, as we go forward. Because God has a lot to say, and He wants people that has a heart like Him and not like Satan. Satan is crazy. Satan's ways are no good. They're not right. And you can't, when people love honor, they love the prestige and pride of man. I know those kind of people. And when, you know, and I watch, I've known people that do stuff like that, and the Holy Spirit would give me revelation. And when I get around people like that, there's no revelation. It's like my heart and my mind just go blank when I'm talking to them. And they have no natural love for the things of God. They'll talk about anything else, but when you start talking about godly things, they want to go somewhere. I'm talking about preachers. When you talk about learning how to grow in the Lord and things like that, they got to go in. It's time's up. But if you're talking about problems or how to make more money or whatever, then they'll talk a while. But when it's about going in the Lord's presence and learning of Him, you know, well, I got to go do this now, you know. But that's just the way things are. But people that love God, they want, that's their conversation. That's their lifestyle. That's what they want to do. But people who want to be the best and the foremost and the prestige, I just noticed that I used to think that, I used to wonder why the Lord would give me all this revelation about following Him. But when I get around people like that, I go blank. even if they ask me a question, I, you know, nothing comes up in my spirit. Now, this is something to pay attention to, because it's going to happen to you. There are some people, you think that they're going to want to have a dialogue with you about the things of God because it's in your heart. But it's not that way with everybody. There is a Laodicean lukewarm church that care nothing about. They're like the people that Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 2 in the book of Jude. Now, that's something, you know, false prophets are out there, and proud people are out there. The hot church loves God, and the hot church loves his people, just like Timotheus and hope I spelled the man's name right, Epaphroditus, Paul's, the two men I just read about. That's the heart of God. Now, the last one, he made himself sick because nobody was helping. He did everything, and he almost died. Some people just not going to, you know, we're not saved by works, but some people just won't lift a finger. Now, they say they're going to go to heaven, but they just won't lift a finger to help when they see a need. But they want God to bless them. You know, that's a lopsided relationship. I know that God gave me this anointing. I've seen what that anointing can do. It's not haughty to understand that God can use you like a tool in your hand. It's actually humble to know that God can do a mighty work in your life. And it's also humble to see, to work and see it through, like Timotheus and Epaphroditus and Paul. You have the choice to love God and honor him or not. And if you decide that's what you're going to do, then the Lord can use you like a tool in his hand. And he loves you, and he cares about you. He's got your back, and he's going to bless you just like according to his word. Now, the Lord called Saul to be, he made him king over Israel. And Saul was a good king. He was a choice king. He started out right. There was nothing in Saul's life that would have made God not call him to be king. After the people decided they wanted one, that's who God chose. God elected him. He gave them a king. He gave them the best king. Not just somebody who wanted power. Now, some time went on from the last time. The other chapters, that's chapters between chapter 9 and 10. I went on down to chapter 15. Now, you can read about Saul's as a king on your own time. But in fact, in chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the Lord, of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city. Of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. How many people say that they did everything God said to do, and they really didn't? Verse 14, And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, which, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, I have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stay, I will tell thee what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord God in Gilgal. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Why would he fear the people and obey their voice instead of fearing God and obeying his voice? What was he looking at? What changed his focus? When you change your focus, you change everything. When you walk away from the love of God, you alter everything. You alter everything. Verse 25. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he lay hold on the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. This man still didn't get it. He tried to get Samuel to honor him as if everything was all right. Verse 31, So Samuel turned again out to Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, my question in those days, the last broadcast, I talked about how I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you knew Saul would do something like this. Why did you anoint him in the first place? Up to when the Lord anointed him, he was faithful. There was no reason for the Lord to not anoint him to be king. The people asked for a king. He was the best choice. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that I learned about the Lord. He has no fear. He believes in you like you should believe in him. He has faith in you. Now, he had Samuel to anoint Saul. Samuel to anoint Saul with a vial of oil. Now, we're going to read in the next broadcast how he anoints David with a horn of oil. Now, little Jim pointed this out to me, my pastor's son. He was teaching about this, and he made the note that Saul anointed David with the horn of oil when he anointed Saul with the vial of oil. The Lord knew the integrity of Saul. The integrity of David was greater because he said, I'm gonna anoint a king that's better than you. Now, this provoked Saul, so Saul immediately began to figure out who this person would be so he could kill him. Now, he went from being faithful to a murderer. And we're going to read about that in the next website broadcast, as the Lord lead. Now, the Lord has no fear. You know, he didn't have to make that choice. He could have done right, and the Lord would have established him to be king. But he made that choice of his own accord. People make the choice of their own heart. I asked the Lord once at a Benny Hinn crusade. We were waiting on everything to start because you have to get there about an hour early. And I was just sitting there in the bleachers waiting. And I said, Lord, why is it that a person can be born in a very poor family with very little hope, let's say in the projects, and they eventually go through all kinds of things, and then they get saved and they live their life to honor God. And then there were angels who had everything. No problems, period. And then they fall. I said, why does that happen among men and angels? You know, some people, they were born in a Christian home. They have all sorts of success going on in their life. They have spiritual wealth because of their parents. And they backslide. I said, why is that? You know, a man can come from the bottom and love God forever, and an angel that knew God can leave and become a demon. And he told me that every individual decides on his own how he measures love. So that's a personal choice that every individual have to make. And I have worked hard trying to get people to see the heart of God, explaining it. It makes no difference. Either they love God or they don't. No matter what I do, I intercede, I pray, I preach, I live the life. Some people love God and some people don't. Some people get saved and stay saved. Some people get saved and they go right back to the slop of the world. So, I can't control that. I had to just get used to the fact that I don't control what people do. The only thing I can control is what I do. Now, the Lord knows every individual, what they're capable of if they follow him, what they're capable of if they choose not to. And sometimes many ministers, he would show me what would happen in their ministry if they followed him, and what would happen if they went on the path that they were going and not following. And I would be so motivated by that love that I wanted all those people to be blessed. I wanted them to be blessed. I wanted the favor of God on them. And they didn't see what I saw. I had the revelation, but they were looking at me. And I looked young. They thought I was just overzealous or something. I don't know what they thought. It doesn't matter, but they didn't follow him. And their ministry did no better than it just didn't graduate. Even if it was doing good, it didn't graduate. And some of them fell away from their ministry. Some things got knocked down. So, and I know this. Now, I'm not just saying something. The Lord gave me visions, dreams, and sometimes he just told me what would happen. Had me write it down. They have a written record of it, every one of them. What happened if they fall, if they dig it out, they can read it today. If they didn't throw it away. If the Lord, he specifically showed what would happen if they followed him, if they followed his format, and what would happen if they followed their own personal format or somebody else's format. In other words, if they didn't follow God, it wasn't going to do right. And it didn't. And it's not. The only way to use the anointing is to be obedient and faithful. Faithful obedience is being humble. That's the definition of humility. To honor God by faithfulness. To be obedient. To do something with what God gives you. Not to go hide the treasure in the dirt and do something else. That's not humility. That's stubbornness. God can't bless that. And I warn people about this, but if they don't have that love and that faith to receive God's word and obey it, they're gonna do what like those other ministers. Now, the Lord will anoint people to do great things. But just because he anoints you, that doesn't mean that everything's okay. If you're being faithful with what God gives you, everything will be fine and greater than you can ever expect. Now, I'm going to leave on that note because we're out of time. But the Lord is not. He will continue to teach those that are hungry, who seek him, who want to know him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.